First, a word about the Field and Garden Podcast. The Field and Garden Podcast is a part of the Gardener's Workshop. The Gardener's Workshop has been telling the stories and how-tos of growing, selling, and helping others to pursue their flower-growing dreams for over 25 years. What began as one gardening enthusiast sharing her passion has grown into so much more. Over at thegardenersworkshop.com, find in print with our blogs and books and through our podcasts and videos and courses, and we have a shop full of the same tools, seeds, and supplies that you hear mentioned on our podcast. You can connect with all of these resources over at thegardenersworkshop.com. I hope you'll take some time to explore all we have for you. Welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop. Today's episode features a takeover of our popular weekly live Q&A session on Instagram, which is normally called Ask a Flower Farmer. This one, however, we called Ask a Florist, and it featured guest host Ellen Frost of Local Color Flowers in Baltimore, Maryland. Ellen is a floral designer who creates exclusively with flowers and foliage purchased from local growers. She's also one of the course instructors here at the Gardener's Workshop. In this Q&A, Ellen fielded questions about floral design, the different flowers she uses throughout the season, and some great business questions too. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ask a Florist Anything. I am your hostess today. So today is going to be a little bit different because we are going to talk about floristry, working with flower farmers, relationship building, all kinds of other things you might want to know. So I will just say that it is fully the spring season. It is just like the busy time of year right now. We have lots of flower farmers that have lots of flowers available. We have lots of events. Weddings, corporate events, special events. This weekend we have a very special event in our shop called Bloom Battle, which I'm happy to tell you more about. So somebody asked, tell me about your background. My name's Ellen Frost. I'm the owner of Local Color Flowers. We are a floral design studio located in Baltimore, Maryland. We source all of our flowers locally. So everything we use come from farms within 100 miles of Baltimore. And this is our 17th year in business. So this is starting our 17th year of wedding work and working with local farmers. So we work with about 40 different local farmers throughout Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, DC. That's sort of our range within about 100 miles. So let's see, how can you become a florist? My name is Ellen Frost. You can find me on YouTube at Ellen Frost Flowers. We have an entire video all about how to become a florist. And I will tell you that for me, how I started a florist business was that I started gardening as a hobby. I started to get really familiar with local flowers. I started taking floristry classes here in Baltimore, just at like the community college. I read a ton of books. I started to do design just for fun, for free for people. So just really like friends that were getting married or friends that were having parties, I would always offer to design the flowers for them. And the more I had my hands on flowers, the more comfortable I got with design. And I always say this in all of my in-person classes, have your hands on flowers as much as you can, because that really will help you get more comfortable. And then once I felt sort of confident and I ran out of friends that were getting married, I decided to try my hand at opening a business. And I started just with wedding florals. So I did just weddings for a few years. And it wasn't until later on that I did things like floral design classes, retail, corporate events, things like that. Really, weddings were just what I did for the first few years and sourced all of our flowers locally. And it worked. Favorite type of eucalyptus? I don't know. I use whatever is available. The Blue Boy, I think, is the really sticky, fragrant one. I don't love that. I know people do love it, but for me, I don't love using it because it's gross on my hands. But I'll use whatever kind, Blue Boy, Silver Dollar, Silver Drop, Nikolai. I don't know. There's so many now. Those are the ones I see a lot of. Okay, let's see. Our town color scheme is black, orange, and white. Do you have some favorite chocolate or brown colored cut flowers? I mean, there are lots of tulips in that sort of really rusty brown, like brown sugar tulip, really rusty orangey brown colors. There are lots of ranunculus in that color. Not pure brown, but, you know, there's Lysianthus, Roseanne Brown. Lots of mums in that color. There's some dahlias that are on the rustier side. Trying to think of what else. Brown. Amaranth. You know, amaranth is a good one, depending on if you're looking for like more golden brown or dark brown. But there's a lot more varieties of brown out there than there have ever been in the past. So I think you can find something to create like a nice color scheme with those colors. What is the thing that was hardest for you to master per se? I mean, everything, right? I didn't start out with any design experience, so design was kind of tricky for me. It still is. I have to have my hands on flowers a lot in order to continue to feel comfortable with design, especially things like hand-tied bouquets, bridal bouquets, things like that. Other things that were hard to master... I don't know. For me, design was the thing. Like, I have a background in business. I have a master's in business administration. I also have worked for nonprofits and for-profit businesses before I started this business. So the business part of the work didn't come as hard to me, like the actual business part. But for me, design was a little bit trickier. And I guess maybe back in the beginning, just like learning about flowers, right? Like, I didn't really know a lot about flowers. And so just learning the names of flowers and learning how flowers work. For those of you who don't know, I'll just tell you that I offer a free weekly newsletter. It's really cool. I'm biased, obviously, but it is really cool. I offer a free weekly newsletter. You can sign up for it either at ellenfrost.com or at locoflow.com. It's locoflow.com. And the newsletter is about a lot of things, but in every edition, we highlight one flower right at the beginning. And that is really because I'm trying to help people learn the names of flowers, how flowers work in design, how they grow, how they are harvested. Because that was one of the hardest things for me, is just like learning about flowers as someone who didn't come from like a gardening or farming or flower background. All right, let's see. Other questions. What do you do in the colder seasons? We still work in the colder seasons. We have growers that grow inside heated greenhouses here in Maryland and Pennsylvania. We also have growers that force flowering branches in the winter. We also use a lot of just evergreen things in the winter. So our greenhouse growers, we have maybe three or four greenhouse growers. They're doing tulips, freesia, ranunculus, basically all of the spring stuff, but in winter. And I've worked really hard over the last like 10 years to develop relationships with winter growers. They're out there. It was just building relationships with them. So still do work in the winter, not as much weddings. People around here don't really get married as much in the winter. But we do, you know, Valentine's Day in February, and we do our retail every Saturday, some corporate events still. So yeah, still do stuff in the winter and try to go away and visit family and, you know, have just slower times too. Somebody said, what are your top five cut flowers for vase life? I don't know, like Lysianthus is really long. Tulips can be really long. I don't know what else. I mean, locally grown stuff, you know, the vase life is just really mums. I mean, they last forever. Those are probably my top three. But, you know, if a grower is conditioning flowers correctly, harvesting at the correct time, you know, local flowers do last really a lot longer than a lot of wholesale flowers. So Base life is usually pretty good. Somebody said, I would like to find a design class to help with my bouquets. Do you hold online design workshops? We have a lot of free videos on YouTube. You can find me again at Ellen Frost Flowers. We have hand-tied bouquet videos on there. We have centerpiece making videos, so you can find them on there. If you're looking for a paid class, there's a woman named Amy Balsters, and she has a company called The Floral Coach. She has a great online class called Bouquet Bootcamp, which I've taken, and it's really good. So I would definitely check it out. I'm from Canada. How do you do during the cold seasons? So same thing. We do work during the cold seasons. The way it works is like after frost, which is, you know, mid-October, end of October, we have maybe another month between frost and Thanksgiving where we have people growing in hoop houses. And still in Baltimore City, we have sort of a heat island effect. So it is warmer in Baltimore City and we don't usually get a frost until after Thanksgiving. So we do still have flowers outdoors until Thanksgiving, but also lots of hoop house and greenhouse stuff. And then once Thanksgiving hits, we're really into like evergreens, berries, some cut flowers from greenhouses up until Christmas. Then we're, you know, we take holiday time and then we're back like the beginning of January, and that's when all of those greenhouse flowers start again. So I don't know if you Canada have space for a greenhouse, or you could search out greenhouse growers in your region. I know Canada there are a lot of greenhouse flower growers, so you might be able to find somebody that is doing some, you know, relatively local stuff in the winter. We also just get really creative and use whatever is out there. Here's another question. What reasons do you think a florist wouldn't be open to local flowers, and any tips on making them open to the idea? Yes. I actually have an entire class called Preparing to Sell to Florists. It is offered through the Gardener's Workshop. It's $50, not very much. And it helps you prepare to sell to florists. And there are lots of reasons why florists would not be open to buying local. One, maybe they think, or it's true, that the price is more expensive than what they're buying at the wholesaler. Two, they may not understand the vase life, and they may not know that the vase life could be better. Three, they might have had an experience with a grower in the past where the quality wasn't good. I see this happen a lot where a florist has bought from maybe a new grower or an inexperienced grower, and the product was not high quality, or vase life wasn't long, or they just felt like it wasn't worth it. And so sometimes that first impression can really be a lasting impression. So those are maybe some of the reasons. Another reason may be that they don't need or don't want the flowers you have to offer. So, you know, florists are not a monolith. All florists are different. Florists focus on different things. Some just do weddings, some just do retail. Florists who do weddings and retail usually need very different flowers. So it may be that you have to find a florist that wants the things that you have rather than sort of making them want the things that you grow. For instance, if you have really amazing sunflowers, they're like the best sunflowers you've ever grown. They're beautiful. They're, you know, they're not that expensive. The price is good. Quality is great. And you go to a wedding florist who, you know, their aesthetic is mostly, you know, sort of wedding-ish colors like whites and blushes and peaches and things like that. You can have the best product, but that florist may not be the right fit for you because sunflowers are not something that they use in their designs. So it's really doing the research and searching out a florist that is a good fit for you. And then maybe, and this is what I cover in the class. It's only a 90-minute class. So it, and it's very straightforward and very streamlined. It really does give you like step-by-step on how to get a florist to buy from you. Then I would try to set up a meeting with them. If they've already said no, maybe you can follow up with some samples and let them see what you have to offer, ask them to use those in their own design just for themselves so that they can practice with it, see how the flowers work. You can also ask them, like, maybe sunflowers for a wedding florist are not a good fit, but what are flowers that you would be interested in buying locally, or what can't you get at the wholesaler that I might be able to grow for you? So really trying to work with the, really try to work with the florists. If you check out our YouTube, Jenny Love and I, my friend Jenny Love from Love and Fresh Flowers, just did a 5-part series called Flower Math, which is a lot of sort of looking at the relationship between farmers and florists and how to make that work better. So if you haven't checked that out, I would definitely check that out too. That's on our YouTube. Here's another question. I am close to a grocery store that has a flower shop. They order their flowers through a contract, I'm sure. Would it be possible that they might be interested in buying local flowers for me? Yes, yes, definitely. I would say you could, so if you were interested in taking my class, I think the Preparing to Sell to Florists class, that would give you sort of a similar preparation to approach a grocery store, because they're basically a similar entity. So really doing the research, figuring out what kinds of flowers that the grocery store offers, figuring out even before you go there, like what flowers might be a good fit for them that you would be able to grow, and then sort of creating a pitch for them that, you know, would be a win-win for both of you. I'm really big on sort of the win-win relationships between farmers and florists. So yes, I think definitely a grocery store, you know, has potential of being a great customer for you. All right, let's. How do you make blooms last longer? Is there a place to find instructions for each flower type? A couple of things. On our YouTube, we have a video, I think it's called, it's something like that, how to get the most vase life out of your flowers. So we have lots of tips on there. You can find that. We also have a PDF. If you go to ellenfrost.com, we have a whole PDF about that as well. Additionally, you can check out, if you're not familiar with the ASCFG, that's the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers. They have a book called Cut Flower Post-Harvest Care. It's a great book, and it goes bloom by bloom, flower by flower. It's in alphabetical order on how to harvest and how post-harvest care works. So you'd be able to look up every flower, or not every flower, but a lot of flowers. There's hundreds of flowers listed in there, and how to take care of them once they've been harvested. So those might be some options. What are your favorite wedding flowers? Well, because we're using all local flowers, the flowers change week to week. So, you know, every week I have a different favorite wedding flower. I love, you know, starting in the spring, I love tulips, love ranunculus. I love mock orange. That's like a favorite in the spring. I don't think I'm crazy. I like peonies, and I do enjoy using them in wedding bouquets and centerpieces and things like that. They're not a favorite. I love them, but they, you know, they're difficult to work with. They're very big. And unless you're using them just as sort of a mono flower bouquet, they can be a little trickier to use. So I love dahlias. I love lisianthus. There's so many. I love them all. There are very few flowers I dislike. You know, I don't love lavender or, I don't know, godetia. There's not many flowers I don't like. I love all flowers, and they mostly work well for weddings. Other questions? How do you market yourself for corporate events? Very difficult. If you go to ellenfrost.com, we have an entire video all about corporate. It's a video about 9 different ways to make money as a florist, and corporate events is one of them. And so we sort of dig into how difficult it is to get corporate events, why they're so great. We have tried a lot of different ways to market ourselves for corporate events, and frankly, not many of them have worked. We do a lot of corporate events. However, the way that we have gotten most of those relationships is through some connection. Either somebody we knew worked at the school or the college, or somebody referred us to a corporate client. We do a lot of work with like a McCormick Spice Company. And that was a referral from a customer many years ago to a person in the company that does a lot of events. So, you know, you can try by, you know, cold calling, bringing samples, things like that. But we have found that the best way is to really find somebody within those places. And a lot of our corporate work is like private high schools, colleges, private companies. I'm trying to think of who else we like. That's a lot of our corporate work. So, you know, in order to find somebody in there, you have to actually tell people that you're looking for that work. So start talking to people just in your community, in your neighborhood, at your church, at work or whatever, and say, look, I'm really trying to get some more corporate work. You know, if you know anybody who happens to be at this college or this business or anything, you know, I'd love a connection. That to me is the best way to sort of find corporate jobs. And everybody wants corporate jobs because they're really easy and there's usually a good budget. So do the work to try to get those corporate jobs. This is just a comment. A lot of people have flowers and know nothing about them, especially their names. I agree, which is partly why, like I said, in our weekly newsletter, it's free. So you guys should definitely sign up for it. It's a great way to learn about flowers. Also to hear about flower adventures and flower business, like what it's like to be a florist and issues that we have and how we work with farmers. You can find it at ellenfrost.com. But you are right. There are a lot of people that have flowers and don't know anything about them, especially their names. I'm a small scale flower farmer having trouble pricing my flowers to sell to florists. Any suggestions? Yes. Again, back to that class. It's called Preparing to Sell to Florists. It's offered by the Gardener's Workshop. It's $50. There's only three things in the class, three big chunks: how to find a florist, how to make an availability list, and how to price flowers. So pricing is really difficult. That class really digs deep into all of the ways to help farmers figure out their pricing. Just like high level, I'll say, you know, you want to do research on what other people in your region are charging. You can look at wholesale pricing in your region. You can figure out sort of your marketing and pricing strategy about like, where do you want to be in the marketplace? Do you want to be the most expensive? Do you want to be the cheapest? Do you want to be somewhere in the middle? Something like that. Also, again, understanding your florist, because if the florist does not have a clientele that will pay, you know, a certain amount for flowers, whether or not you want to charge more, you may not be able to get a florist to buy it because they can't get their customers to buy it. So I would definitely check out that class, but I would say, yeah, research who's charging what in your region, check out what the wholesalers are charging, figure out where you want to be in the marketplace. That would be a starting place. Of course, let me just say one more thing. Of course, you need to sort of understand your costs that go into that, but that is not my expertise. I'm not a flower farmer. So I know, you know, you can do enterprise budgeting. If you look at Lenny Larkin, she's a friend of mine from B-Side Flower Farm in California. She just put a book out about being profitable as flower farmer. I think that is a good resource in trying to figure out pricing and profitability. And let me see some other questions. Is there a guide to flower specific conditioning process? Again, that is, if you check out the ASCFG post-harvest care book, they have a lot of that in there. Let's see. I'm new. So you grow. Oh no, I am not a grower. I don't grow anything. I have, before I started, a floristry business. So I am a florist. I own a flower shop called Local Color Flowers. We're a flower shop in Baltimore, Maryland. Before I started a flower shop, I did work on a farm growing flowers and vegetables, but I decided that growing was not a good fit for me. I didn't really like being hot or cold or dirty or wet. But I did like flowers and I did like farmers and I did love sort of the culture of buying local. And so I started this business so that I could take the parts of farming that I liked and turn it into a business that would work for me. And for those of you who don't know me, sorry, I've assume a lot of you knew me, but if you don't, yes, I own a flower shop. I also offer two online courses through the Gardener's Workshop. One is a small course called Preparing to Sell to Florists. That is for farmers who want to sell to florists. I also offer a large class called Growing Your Business with Local Flower Sourcing. This is a class that is geared towards florists and farmer florists and farmers too, but really florists and farmer florists who want to source locally and want to learn more about sourcing locally. I also offer a free weekly newsletter. It's at ellenfrost.com or at locoflow.com. You can find it there. I also put out weekly YouTube videos about flowers, and they really range from like design, learning about flowers, flower travel, flower adventures, things like that. Let's see. What should I do with a very overgrown holly tree bush? I don't know. I guess cut it and sell it, or cut it and make wreaths with it. Holly is, you know, a thing that florists would buy in the winter, especially during wreath season. So yeah, try to cut it and sell it. Let's see. Oh, I'm looking for educational courses for professionals growing roses in greenhouses. Could you help me find that? I don't know of one for greenhouse growers, but if you check out my friend Lauren Uhlig, her Instagram is Flor by Eight. So it's F-L-O-R, the letter X, E-I-G-H-T. So Flor by Eight. She is a rose grower here in Baltimore. She's amazing. And her and I, if you check out my YouTube, we have a 1 hour free webinar all about growing roses locally. And this is really for small scale growers. I don't know of a course on growing roses in a greenhouse. I know Urban Buds, if you know Mima and Miranda from Urban Buds in St. Louis, they do grow roses in their greenhouse. So maybe you might reach out to them and double check if they have any information. But if you check out our YouTube, Flor by Eight and I, like I said, Lauren and I have a great webinar about growing roses locally, and not just growing roses, but using them in design and selling them to florists. It's a really good video. Somebody asked if I was married. Hilarious. Yes, I am married. My husband, Eric, is my business partner. He does a lot of the website things. He does the accounting, and he does a lot of bucket washing. Let's see. Other questions? If I miss any, you can always direct message me on Instagram. You can find me at Ellen Frost Flowers or at Local Color Flowers. Either of those are places you can find me. Is it recommended to dunk snapdragons, gladiolas, in warm soapy water to ensure there are no thrips? I don't know. You might have to ask a flower farmer that. We, as a florist, hope that our flowers are coming to us without thrips. What are your tips and tricks for conditioning dahlias for longest vase life? We assume that our dahlias have been conditioned before they get to us, which means that our growers have cut them in the field, put them right into water. I don't know if they use quick dip. Some of them probably do, right into a cooler, and then to us, without breaking the cold, chain very much. And then they go right into our cooler. So we're not doing really any additional conditioning. Once, a customer buys those, you know, flower food and clean water every day, probably the best. Ball dahlias are going to have longer vase life than probably anything else. Things like cafe au lait or any sort of giant dahlia, you know, the vase life is not that great on them. So we don't really do anything special or specific for dahlias. All right, everyone. So I am going to sign off because, like I said, it is a crazy time for us. I would love you to reach out and ask me any more questions that you might have. I would love for you to sign up for my newsletter. We're writing about sweet peas, about our amateur floral design competition that's coming this week called Bloom Battle, talking about color and how it can be challenging working with wedding clients. So I hope you'll sign up. You can do that on the website or just direct message me and I'll send you a link. All right. I hope you guys are all having a great day. Hope the sun is shining. It's finally shining here in Baltimore. And I hope to connect with you again soon. Have a great day, everyone.
Okay, welcome back. I hope you found some useful tips in there. So I've included some links in the show notes to topics that were mentioned, including a link to the pages on our website where you can check out Ellen's online courses. I also included a link to the Gardener's Workshop Instagram account, where these live Q&As take place every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. These Q&As are normally hosted by Lisa Mason Ziegler, but we do have guest takeovers such as this one periodically as well, so I encourage you to check it out. If you like what you're hearing here on the Field and Garden podcast, we'd love it if you'd tell a friend about us and leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. That's all for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop, and I hope you have a great day.